Hey everybody, Ben Shaw here. It's bonus podcast time. Because we had two different sermons this past Sunday, we have two podcast episodes this week. One that released earlier this week and one today. If this is your first time listening, welcome. We are glad that you chose to be a part of our worship experience here at FUMC in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. If you are looking for a place to worship, we would love to have you here. On Sunday morning, we offer two unique worship experiences, both at 10:15 a.m. Our modern worship service meets in the Family Life Center, and our traditional worship service meets in our sanctuary. Head over to fumcm.org to learn about all of the great things we have going on here. We hope that you find today's message meaningful for you in your life. If you do, we ask that you help us out by rating and reviewing our podcast in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, tell your friends and family about us. This is a great way that we can live into our mission at FUMC of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him for the transformation of Murfreesboro and the world. Now, here is Zach Fisher's sermon entitled, "The Good Treasure Entrusted to You" from this week's traditional worship service.
I've been watching a lot of Netflix lately. The show that I've been watching, and it's been driving, I'm sure, Caroline crazy with me sitting there staring at the TV, is this show, The Curse of Oak Island. Has anybody seen that or heard about that? There's this island in Nova Scotia, of all places, up on the eastern coast of Canada. And it's this cursed island. And they've made this show all about these guys that are out there treasure hunting. We love a good treasure hunting story. People have always been fascinated with treasure hunters. A while back, there was National Treasure, and Nick Cage went in search of this hidden treasure that was hidden on the back of the Declaration of Independence, and they made, I think there was like two or three movies about it. They just couldn't give people enough of this treasure hunting story. Even in Jesus' day, folks were obsessed with treasure. Jesus told his own stories about treasure. Jesus told a story of a man who went out and found a treasure. And after finding that treasure, he went and buried it in a field. And then he bought the field so that he could go back later and dig the treasure up. He probably bought the whole field because he probably thought there was more treasure hiding out there. I wonder how long he went around that field looking for more treasure, even though he knew exactly where it was. We love a good treasure hunting story, and on this show, it caught my attention right from the get-go because they had all these wild stories about the treasure that was hidden there on Oak Island, and I wanted to know if they found it. I was very tempted to go all the way straight to episode 13 and just see if they found the thing. But I sat there and watched 13 episodes of this show because I said, I don't want to miss anything. Maybe they're going to find little clues along the way that leads them to this treasure. It was fascinating to watch. Right from the beginning, they said, we believe this treasure is hidden underground at the bottom of this 200-foot pit. The pit was lined with rusty metal and was filled with water. When you went into it, it was frigid water, and it was pitch black. You couldn't see a thing. And they wanted this diver to go all the way to the bottom of this 200-foot pit and squeeze themselves through a 27-inch hole. I don't know. They showed the diver going in an image head first. And I said, there's no way you could pay me. I don't care what the treasure is. I would not be down there 200 feet diving through this little hole. And to make matters worse, they did a sonar of it, and they said, we think there is a body at the bottom of this pit already. They had recorded, and six people had died searching for this treasure already, and there was a curse on Oak Island. They said a seventh is going to die. And so part of the fascination as I stood there watching 13 episodes of this was I said, which one of these people is going to be the seventh? This is not going to end well. But when there's treasure involved, you just can't turn away. People will go to amazing lengths for their treasures, won't they? They'll go to the bottom of a pitch dark, water-filled, freezing cold 200-foot pit and squeeze their way through a little tunnel and step around a body to get at some treasure. Even when anything else to a rational person tells them, this is a dumb idea. Don't do this. This is bad news. There's a curse on this island, and you're messing in stuff that you should not have gotten into. Well, I watched for 13 episodes, amazed at the lengths that these guys were willing to go to, the time, the investment of both their time and their money that these guys were willing to go to get at this treasure. And at the end of 13 episodes, they found nothing. And I was very disappointed that I had watched probably close to 13 hours of this TV show, only to be told that it was all in their heads the whole time. People will go to such crazy lengths to get at treasure, and a lot of the times it's not even there. I sat there and watched this, and I thought to myself, what could possibly push these guys to go to such crazy lengths? What could push people to go so far in search of a treasure? And there was all sorts of these wild theories in the show about what the treasure could be. They said they would bring on these experts that had done all this research about this island, and they said, I'll tell you what's at the bottom of that pit, and I'll tell you exactly where it's buried and exactly where it is. It is the Ark of the Covenant. The Crusaders brought it to Canada during the Middle Ages, and they hid it there. And they had, as you watch the show, they said, it's very hard to get to, though. The reason it's underwater now is because there's some wild theories about this. There's theories about there used to be two islands, and they built this section in the middle of the island. They just created a whole new part of the island to bury this treasure. And it's all a working of mazes and tunnels, and it filled up with water because they built these booby traps to fill everything with water. And as you're sitting there, you're thinking, this is harder and harder to believe that this is true. Another theory was that it was left there by the ancient Incans. The ancient Incans thought that the world was ending, and this expert said that they had stashed this treasure there for the coming apocalypse, the end of the world, and they were going to dig it up somehow after the end of the world. After the world had ended, they were going to go there somehow and dig it up and have their treasure still. And I thought, why would these Incans come all the way up from South America, all the way to Canada, this seemingly insignificant little island off the coast of Nova Scotia? But people are willing to go to some crazy lengths and believe some crazy things, aren't they, when there's treasure involved? Maybe you have a personal treasure. Maybe it's not as exciting as the Ark of the Covenant or ancient Incan gold, but I think we all have our treasures in life. I've brought one with me. It's hiding back here. Got a little box. Actually, I have two boxes. The second one is maybe a little more unsavory. I had to tell the choir that I was not hiding cigars back here earlier in the day. These are some family treasures that were passed down to my wife, Caroline. And these belong to Emma Bell Pyle, her grandmother. And they have come to Caroline. And these are some treasures that have been entrusted to us. This is a bunch of boxes full of recipes. We've got peanut butter crinkles. I like these. That's Caroline's favorite to make. And there's a lot of desserts in here. I think there's more desserts than anything else, but who can blame? We all have our personal treasures, those things that were passed down to us, entrusted to us. They might be recipes, they might be music, Maybe we know those memories of when we sat in the car with our parents and they showed us some music back from the good old days, some stuff that we probably had never heard before, and they said, hey, listen to this. Maybe our treasures that have been entrusted to us, maybe some of you have some boxes like this at your home. Maybe they're full of letters. One of our favorite places to go is up to the family farm over in Fentress County. It's on one of the forks of the Wolf River Valley. And some of you all have heard me talk about that before. There is a little farmhouse there, and Caroline's family is related to Sergeant York and all those folks down there. They're all a little bit related to one another in a small town like that. And they have some little boxes sitting around that house down there, and I think it's in a cigar box just like this. We opened it up, and what do you know? There were some letters home from Sergeant York during the war. And we said, oh man, this is so cool. This is something that probably belongs in a museum, but we just have it sitting here at home in a cigar box. There's some treasures, even if it's not from somebody famous, even if it's just from somebody that you loved. Maybe it's from your grandfather or an aunt or an uncle or a friend. A letter or a birthday card just sitting there, and you keep them in a box, and you go back to them and look at them every now and then. They're like treasure to us. Maybe family photos. But for me, it's recipes, because as good as photos are to look at, and music is good to listen to, I enjoy eating food a whole lot. So these recipes are definitely treasure to me. And the thing with treasure is that when there's something like this, when there's something like a recipe or a song that you just love, you want to pass that on to somebody. You don't want it to ever go away. You don't want it to be lost. You don't want it to be buried out there in a field somewhere and there's a bunch of guys that buy your home and bring out the excavators and spend decades looking for it like they did on Oak Island. You don't want the treasure to be lost if it's really that important. You want somebody to know where it is. And so I think the worst thing that could ever happen to the peanut butter crinkles, the worst thing that could ever happen to Imabelle Pyle's apple dumplings, is that they could be lost and nobody would ever get to eat those again. We found Paul in our scripture reading today in such a similar situation. I don't know if you heard that during the scripture reading today, but as we go on in this month, we're going to be looking at this letter of Paul's, the second letter to Timothy. And that's going to be our focus for the next month. We're going to be looking at this letter that Paul wrote, and we're going to be thinking about the treasures that are there for us, even as readers of that letter, so much later. It's been passed down for a long time. It's a sincere letter. Paul wrote a lot of letters. You know him from many of the greatest hits of the New Testament. And we saw a lot of different Pauls come along. Paul was a dynamic person. He wrote a lot, and he had a lot to say. And Paul wore his emotions on his sleeve. In Galatians, we saw angry Paul, just yelling and causing a fuss. In many of his letters, we saw the urgent Paul. Paul thought that the mission of Christ and the news of Christ was urgent, so urgent that it needed to be spread, and the word needed to get out immediately. We saw theological Paul in the letter to the Romans, laying out a good treatise of what it means to believe in Christ. But here in this letter, 2 Timothy, we see a much more vulnerable Paul, a much more human Paul. If you don't know the story, Paul, in the letter of 2 Timothy, is writing from prison. And he's on trial, and it's not going well. He thinks that this is going to be it. So he writes home to his protege and traveling companion, Timothy, who's off leading a church in Ephesus. And Paul wants him to come see him in prison. He says to Timothy that, "I think this might be the end for me, and I'd like to see you one last time before I die." Paul is in such a vulnerable place in this letter. And as he shares with Timothy and urges him to come see him in prison, he's afraid that Timothy will be ashamed of his old mentor. He tells him constantly, "Don't be ashamed. Please don't feel bad or have any reservations about my circumstances." And he's worried that Timothy, either through being ashamed or scared, won't come see him. And so he says to Timothy, he reminds him through this letter that God has given us a spirit, not of cowardice, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. He's urging Timothy, "Please, please come see me. I have a precious gift for you, and I want to remind you of that." He said, I've got a precious gift for you, and I want to remind you of that gift. I want to rekindle it within you. It's not a box of recipes for Paul. For Paul, the treasure entrusted to Timothy are those teachings that Paul gave to Timothy. But more importantly than that, it is the faith that Timothy has. His faith is his treasure. And he says that faith has been passed down to you, like we would pass down recipes and knowledge and photos. That faith has been passed down to you from those people in your family who loved you most, your mother and your grandmother. Paul says through this letter, "I want to remind you who you are. I want to remind you that your most important treasure is your faith in Jesus Christ." This is a letter that can remind us as well of who we are, what our most important treasure is. We have a lot of treasures in life, a lot of treasures that we'd be willing to go through a lot of crazy hoops and a lot of wild goose chases for. But at the end of the day, it's those things passed down from those that loved us in faith and taught us what it meant to be a Christian that matters most. Paul wants to encourage Timothy. He says to him constantly, "Don't be afraid." He even asks him to come join him in his suffering, and I'm sure that Timothy wasn't excited about that. Paul, through this letter, wants to remind Timothy who he is, of that precious treasure of faith, and he wants to do one more thing. He wants to commission Timothy. He says, "Come here so I can put my hands upon you. I want to lay hands on you, and I want to bless you and commission you for the work that is to come." This is what is most important to Paul with his dying breath. He wants to pass this on. He wants to pass it on so badly. He wants Timothy to know how important it is, this faith. It reminds me of a movie where on the dying breath, the parent or the mentor tells that young person, "Go look under the floorboards at home. I've put so much money under there." But it's not money. It's just faith. It's Paul's recipe for what it means to live a good Christian life. And I wonder how Timothy reacted to this news, this letter. I wonder if Timothy still felt how he did about Paul when they were traveling together. Timothy had been in Ephesus for a while. Maybe he had come to disagree with Paul a little bit. It wouldn't be out of the ordinary. A lot of the early church leaders disagreed. I don't know if you knew that. If you read the Bible just a little bit, you'll see that all the early church leaders seem to be at each other's throats. It's actually kind of surprising to see Paul and Timothy have such a close relationship because they were so concerned about those recipes that they were leaving behind for the Christian faith. Those teachings, those doctrines, they were always concerned that they would get messed up, that somebody would add an extra sprinkle of salt or an extra helping of Calvinism or another extra helping of following the works and not focusing on the faith. The church leaders that we've had and have inspired the church have always been very concerned with getting that recipe just right. And I wonder if Timothy agreed with Paul's recipe. They say if there was a Christian out on a desert island, that they'd show up and they'd find this guy eventually and they'd see this great church that this Christian had built. And then they'd look on the other side of the island, they see this other great church that was built and they look around, they say, is there another person here? It seems to be just you. And the guy said, oh, it is just me. And they said, well, we noticed there's a second church over that way. And the guy says, oh, yeah, that's the church that we don't go to. Seems like that's how we are as Christians sometimes. We want to get the recipe just right. And for every Christian, there seems to be two opinions about what it means to be one. But regardless of all that controversy, our faith is what is most important to us. That is that treasure that's entrusted to us. And the question for us today is, what will we do with the treasure? Will we be like the guy that Jesus talked about and bury it in a field and come back for later? Jesus told another story about these servants that were given out portions of money and they were told to do something with it. Two of them went and invested and came back and they multiplied the money. Another one just buried it in the ground and said, I'd rather lose nothing at all than gain anything. In this scripture, Paul tells Timothy, he says, guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. And as I think about Paul's words there, I think about how eager Paul is to share this with Timothy, how eager Paul is to get this out with his last dying breath, this news that the greatest treasure we could ever have is our faith, and how Paul wants one of his last acts to be to commission Timothy to do this good work. And I think about that word, guard, when we think about the good treasure entrusted to us. What does it mean to guard those good treasures? When we read this passage, I see it, as Paul says, as keeping the standard, not diluting the recipe. He means guard by keeping sacred what is sacred. He doesn't mean to hide it under lock and key and to bury it under the ground for later, never to revisit it until that day when we want to finally dig it up. The worst thing that can happen to treasure is for it to be forgotten and lost to the ones we love. When we think about what it means to guard our treasures entrusted to us, I think a great word to put in there is to share the treasures entrusted to us. Because these recipes would mean nothing if we didn't bake them and eat them and share them with everybody we knew. They'd just be ink on paper locked away in a box at that point. They would never get to become what they really are, which is some amazing peanut butter crinkle cookies. When we have those treasures entrusted to us, we need to share them and share them often. That's what I think Paul wants Timothy to know with his dying breath. Right as Paul's at the end of his life, he wants Timothy to know that in guarding your treasure, you need to do so in order that you can share it with all those that you meet. Paul wants Timothy to know that. And that's why Paul wants Timothy to come so he can lay hands on him and bless him and commission him to be sent out to do that good work. Not to bury the treasure and come back later so that a 13-episode Netflix series can happen, because they probably won't ever find that treasure. It'll probably be gone. The best way to guard that treasure is to share it. The best way to guard our faith is to share it. May we share it together. With all the grace and peace that comes from Jesus Christ. Amen.